Welcome back. This lesson is all about the least glamorous, most powerful skill in releasing drum and bass, the pre-release review. Because if you're at the point where the track basically slaps, the thing that separates ready from almost is not one more synth layer. It's systematically catching the problems you're currently too used to hearing. Today you're going to build a repeatable pre-release checklist inside Ableton Live. Think of it like a quality control mode. You'll run it in about 20 to 45 minutes per track, and it'll cover arrangement flow, bass and sub translation, drum impact, loudness prep, real world translation, and export sanity checks. First rule, step 0, non-negotiable. Duplicate the project. Go to File, Save Live Set As, and name it something like Track Name PRE Release Audit V1. This is your safe sandbox. You're going to be making judgment calls, toggling things, maybe freezing stuff, maybe printing tests. Do not do that on your beloved main set. If the project is heavy, this is the moment to freeze any wild sound design tracks so your computer isn't gasping while you're trying to make decisions. Flatten only if you're totally confident. The goal is audit without breaking. Now, before we touch any devices, I want you in a different listening mode. This is coach mode, not creator mode. If you're on Live 12, open the notes view. If not, create a little text file next to your project called Review Notes. And I want you to use a tiny template. Biggest win to protect. Top 3 problems to fix. 2 things to ignore for now. That last line is huge. 2 things to ignore. Because the biggest risk in a review session is spiraling into infinite tweaks. The track doesn't need to become perfect today. It needs to become releasable. Next, do a time box triage pass. Set a timer for 6 to 8 minutes. During this pass, you do only 2 actions. 1. Drop locators where you hear an issue. 2. Write a 3-5 word diagnosis at that moment. Examples, snare buried by bass stab, or hats painful, 8K, or drop energy flat, too similar. No EQ moves, no compressor moves, no plugin browsing. Just identify problems like a doctor. We treat after the diagnosis. All right, step 1. Arrangement markers and the DJ reality check. In arrangement view, right-click the timeline and add locators for your major sections. Intro, DJ friendly. Build, drop 1, break or atmos, drop 2, with variation. Outro, mix out. For drum and bass, a DJ-friendly intro and outro usually means 16 or 32 bars that are actually blendable. Not just cool, but functional. The question is, if someone is mixing into this in a club, do they have clear rhythmic material to lock onto? Hats, rides, ghost snares, a steady pulse, something that behaves like mix material. Then check your drops. Are they distinct? If drop 2 is literally a copy-paste, the energy flatlines. You don't need a whole new sound palette. You need one meaningful change, a different call and response. A drum fill, a bass rhythm switch for 4 bars, a stop, a 1-bar kick removal before a hit. Small structural edits read huge in drum and bass. And while you're in this arrangement mindset, make a quick pass on automation lanes. 4 categories that make a track feel finished are drum density, bass call and response, FX intensity, ambience width. If you only automate those, the track usually starts feeling intentional instead of looped. Step 2. Reference track A/B. Reel A/B. Make a new audio track called REF and drop in 2 or 3 references that match your vibe and era. Similar tempo, similar density. Not the biggest mastered anthem ever if your track is a deep roller. Keep it fair. Important, for references, you generally want warp off, because you're not trying to time stretch a master for fun. You're trying to compare tone, balance, and impact. If you must warp, be careful with modes. Now put utility on the REF track and turn it down. Start around -6 to -10 dB. The whole point is level matching by perceived loudness, not peak meters. If the reference is louder, it will always seem better. That's just human hearing. Here's the A/B method. Loop 8 bars of your drop 1. Then loop 8 bars of the reference at a similar section. Match the level by ear. Then ask 3 questions. Is my sub as controlled? Are my drums as forward? Does my mix feel foggy compared to theirs? Foggy usually means too much low mid or too much wash from reverb and delay, or a mid bass that's eating everything. We'll address that in a minute. Step 3. Build a master audit rack using stock devices. This is not your master chain. It's a flashlight, and it should be off by default. On your master, add utility first. That's your mono and width sanity checker. Map a macro or just get used to toggling mono quickly. Then AQ8, turn the analyzer on. This is for problem finding. Set up a gentle high pass around 20 to 30 Hz just to reveal rumble. You're not removing bass, you're identifying a necessary subsonic garbage. Then make a narrow bell that you can sweep when something feels harsh. In DNB, hat and snare pain often lives around 2 to 6K, and sometimes the fatigue zone is more like 6 to 10K. Then spectrum. Set the block size to 8192 so the low end reads more steadily. You're looking for obvious spikes and weirdness, not trying to mix with your eyes. But spectrum can confirm if one sub note is exploding or if there's random low end energy that shouldn't be there. Then a limiter. Audit only. Ceiling at minus 1.0 dB. Turn it on briefly and see how it reacts if pushed. If it's instantly doing a ton of gain reduction, you're not loud enough. You're usually too peaky, too uncontrolled in transients, or too dense in the wrong band. Again, keep this rack off by default. We use it to reveal, not to fix. Now we hit the number one release killer, sub and bass. Step 4, sub and bass checklist. First, your sub must be mono and stable. If you have Live's utility with bass mono, set it around 120 Hz. That's a solid starting point. If you don't have that feature, do it the smart way. Separate sub layer, then set utility width to 0% on that sub track. Now do the real test. In the drop, toggle your master mono. If the sub drops in level, or gets weird and hollow, you've got stereo low end, phase issues, or a layered bass that's fighting itself. And here's a super common roller problem. Sub notes that overlap and smear. The bass line feels like it's dragging. The kick loses definition. The groove turns to soup. Fix number one is musical. Shorten the MIDI notes so they stop just before the next kick or snare impact. That spaces punch. Fix number two is control. Put a compressor on the sub, ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack around 15 to 30 milliseconds, release around 60 to 120 milliseconds depending on tempo and feel. Then add sidechain from the kick, or better, from a ghost kick so the pumping is consistent without changing your audible kick choice. Aim for about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on hits. Enough to create room, not enough to turn your bass into a breathing effect unless that's the vibe. Step 5. Drum impact audit. Kick, snare, hats. Solo kick and snare for 30 seconds. In drum and bass, the snare is often the emotional anchor. It needs to read clearly on 2 and 4, especially in the mid-range. Ask yourself, is the snare the loudest mid-range event, and does the kick support it rather than fight it? If you need a quick, clean Ableton stock chain idea on a drum group, drum bus with drive around 5 to 15%, crunch maybe 5 to 20 for edge, boom usually off or very subtle for DNB. Then saturator with soft clip-on, 1 to 4 dB drive, careful not to add harshness. Then glue compressor, light settings, ratio 2 to 1, attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. You're looking for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks, just enough to feel like it's one drum kit. Now hats. Hat harshness is sneaky because it feels exciting at first and painful later. Loop 16 bars of your busiest section, often drop 2. If your ears get tired fast, check 6 to 10K. A gentle EQ dip of 1 to 3 dB around 7 to 9 kHz can help. Or you can use multiband dynamics lightly to control the harsh band without dulling everything. And here's a pro move. Sometimes it's not an EQ problem. It's a sample choice problem. Swap the brightest hat for a darker one, then push it slightly louder. That often keeps energy without the razor blade. Step 6. Mid-range bass clarity. Reese and neuro management. This is where a lot of intermediate mixes collapse. The mid bass is sick by itself, but in the mix it's eating the entire record. Do this quick workflow. Toggle master mono. Turn the sub down by about 3 dB temporarily. Now listen to the bass character, roughly 200 Hz to 2 kHz. If the bass vibe vanishes when you do that, your bass is relying too much on stereo width, facey layers, or sub dominance. You want the bass to still speak in mono, especially in the low mids. Use EQ8 on the bass group. If the snare body disappears, check 200 to 400 Hz. That zone can turn into cardboard real fast. If the snare crack or vocals fight, check 1 to 3 kHz. If you want a clean structure, build a little audio effect rack on the bass group with three bands. Sub, 0 to 120, forced mono. Low mid, 120 to 500, lightly saturated for presence. Mid top, 500 and above, where you can add controlled width if desired. That gives you dark width that doesn't wreck the club. Step 7, space, effects, and the two-wit detector. DNB needs atmosphere. but the drop has to hit clean. So in your drop, ask, can I clearly hear the snare transient, the bass rhythm, and the main hook? If any of those are blurry, check your returns. A great standard is reverbs on return tracks, not inserts, so you can control them like an environment. Inside the reverb, high pass around 200 to 400 Hz and low pass around 6 to 10k. That keeps the reverb from filling your low mids and sizzling your top end. Then, sidechain your reverb return with a compressor keyed from the snare or the full drum bus. Fast attack, medium release, ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. That gives you space that moves out of the way when the drums hit, which is basically the modern clean but atmospheric sound. Step 8, headroom and pre-master prep. Before release, you want a clean pre-master, even if you're self-mastering. A practical target is peaks around minus 6 dB on the master, and no accidental clipping anywhere. And here's an advanced reality check, don't only watch the master. A lot of mystery distortion happens inside groups and returns. During review, look at the drum group meter, bass group meter, and your FX returns. You might find one return is insanely hot and smearing the entire drop. If you need quick control, use utility to trim groups. Drums, bass, music, effects. If the mix feels good but peaks are wild, lightly glue the drum group, and consider soft clipping on drums or bass groups rather than slamming a master limiter. Step 9. Translation tests. The real world pass. First, mono test. Toggle mono on the master. Snare should stay strong. Sub should remain stable. Second, low volume test. Turn your monitors way down. Can you still follow the groove? If the track falls apart, your balance might be relying on loudness instead of clarity. Third, bad speaker test, phone or laptop. You won't hear sub, but you should hear bass presence through harmonics. If you can't follow the bass line at all, create a sub translation layer. Quick method, duplicate your sub MIDI to a new track called SUB Harm. Use operator sign or your sub source, add a touch of saturation or overdrive, then high pass that layer around 120 to 180 Hz so it's only harmonics. Blend until it's readable. Then back it off 10%. Translator, not second bass. If possible, do a car test or earbuds test. Listen for boomy notes, harsh hats, sibilant vocals, weak snare. Write down what you hear. Don't fix in the car. This audio version is shortened for playback.